Welcome to Semper Gumby in Alaska, a podcast of the Diocese of Juneau. Broadcasting today from St. Catherine of Siena Parish in Petersburg and St. Rose of Lima in Wrangell, Alaska. Today is December 25th, Christmas Day. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is born to us. The Mass at dawn. Merry Christmas. The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the angels went away from them to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go then to Bethlehem to see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." So they went in haste and found Mary and Joseph and the infant lying in a manger. When they saw this, they made known the message that had been told them about this child. All who heard it were amazed by what had been told them by the shepherds. And Mary kept all these things, reflecting on them in her heart. Then the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen and heard, just as it had been told to them. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
This is my favorite Christmas, my favorite feast in the church, beyond all of them. I know we need Easter for salvation, but in the very early church, people were fascinated by the incarnation. We have more saints and doctors of the church writing on the incarnation than writing even on the Easter mysteries. Why is that? Because our God, who is so big and created the universe for all of us, created us as individuals, placed us here on earth, desired to save us by being one with us, being a little child. That was the sign the angels spoke to the shepherds up on the mountaintop. They said, "Today, in the city of David in Bethlehem, a child is born who will be the Savior of the world. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And we're so comfortable with that story that maybe we should hear a different headline, right? Homeless family gives birth in shed. That's what would make the paper today, right? Not wonder counselor is born, God, hero, father forever, joins us here on earth. No, homeless family gives birth in shed. Shepherds greet. We have a God who becomes so small. If you've ever wondered, where is God? He's probably hiding right under our noses. Because he can be present in ways that we can never even begin to imagine. He desires to be so much a part of our life that he's come to hide in our midst. Right? When the Magi come in 2 weeks, where do they head? The capital city, to look for the newborn king. And everybody in the capital city says, "We haven't seen him. Herod doesn't let us talk about anything." Right? Herod kept a pretty tight control on everybody there, including killing off two of his sons in order to make sure he remained in power. This one was not born in Jerusalem, was not born in Nazareth, but was born in Bethlehem. If there was a place smaller than Nazareth, it was Bethlehem. It's a tiny little place. Even today, if you go there, which, raise your hands if you've been in Bethlehem. No Bethlehem people? I have wine glasses that are from Bethlehem. Come on now. You've got to come and join me. We have to go. It changes the way you read the Bible. When you sit in Bethlehem and read the Nativity story, or if you sit in Capernaum and read John's Gospel, any of the Acts of the Apostles that occurred there, the healing of the paralytic was right in the house that you're sitting next to, and you go, oh yeah, this is like real. Jesus was born into history. He got his feet dirty with this dirt that's all over my clothes. I still have orange stains on my running shirt from sneaking through the Hezekiah's tunnel. Hezekiah's tunnel goes from the inner city of Jerusalem to the outer spring that they covered over to make sure they got water on the inside. And it was carved at the time of King Hezekiah. We have a God who was born into history. And not somebody else's history, our history. How do we welcome him today in our own lives? How do we ensure that this birth that occurred so long ago continues to bear its fruit in each of us? I suggest we follow the example of the shepherds, these model disciples. They have an amazing proclamation made to them. Your Savior is born in Bethlehem. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger. And what do? Like we sang in the spiritual, they forsake their flocks, their herds, their ewes, their rams, and they run to meet the Lord. They run down the hills in the dark. They didn't have headlamps or LED flashlights. You did not move in the dark. But they were urged on by this glorious announcement after they got rid of the terrifying experience of being surrounded by angels and the glory of God. They ran down the hills to meet Mary and Joseph and their newborn king. And they recognized him. They had eyes of faith that could recognize the power of God made small, made fragile, made precarious. Right? The same Herod who kills off his own sons to remain king will try to kill off every newborn child in Bethlehem on the 27th, just 2 days from now. We have a God who becomes so small and yet is recognizable. These shepherds were no different than us. Actually, they were probably a lot worse off. They were shepherds, which meant they were poor. They were hired hands living in the fields. The owner of the flock was at home on Christmas night, resting comfortably. And our God comes and announces his presence to these little ones and will continue to do that throughout his ministry. So if you've never felt big enough to be loved by God, that's okay. He seems to like little people of small stature and little ability because then he uses us to show off his glory. This Jesus, born in Bethlehem, attracted the shepherds to his presence and they rejoiced. May we learn to do the same, right? To be attracted to Jesus' presence and to rejoice therein. The other model disciple we have in today's gospel is our Blessed Mother, Mary. What does she do with all this news? Yeah, she's a contemplative. She sits and ruminates on it. She chews on this again and again, rolling it over in her mind. What is happening? Yes, the angel Gabriel came to me and I said, yes. Yes, checked out things with Elizabeth. We saw Zechariah's amazing birth. Yes, Joseph took me into his home. Yes, we were forced to come to Bethlehem to be enrolled because the local dictator is taking a census. And yes, we could find no place to have our child born better than a shed with the animals. And now, this proclamation that I thought happened in secret and very few knew about, is now known to everyone on the hilltops. All the shepherds have appeared and are like, waking my baby. Next will come, right, the Magi, and she'll ponder those things in her heart as well. After that, she'll go to the temple, and Simeon and Anna will make amazing prophecies of this one who is to be Savior of the world. And she'll ponder those things in her heart as well. Boy, Mary, do I have a lot of questions when I get to heaven. I want to do some pondering with you. I want to sit down and go, how is a little girl, you were 15, could you say yes with such an amazing willingness of spirit? Never pulling back. Right? I say yes, I'm ready to run with the shepherds, and then I'm off distracted on something else. Or maybe I get there and I look and I'm like, oh, okay. Baby born in poverty in a shed. Do we have something bigger, God? Like a bow in the clouds or a mighty mountain-shaking experience? Right? Most of the theophanies, the God bursting into human family, are on mountaintops and they involve a lot of noise. Trumpets blasting and everything. And here, we have nothing but a little child, born like so many other children in poverty. So many other children who are in dire straits, fragile, and in desperate need of their parents' care. There's a beautiful apocryphal story of the shepherds bringing a ewe to Mary because she was so young, she was not yet producing milk. And Jesus receiving milk from the shepherd's sheep. These model disciples either ponder the works of God in their heart or run, rejoicing to meet the Lord, and then share that story with everyone they meet. If you were one of those shepherds on the hilltop, could you not tell everyone? It's amazing. It's better than having pictures of your grandchildren, right, that we show to everyone. This is the Savior of the world is born for us. Yes, you want to tell everyone. Now, if you long to pick up Jesus, as I do, and give him a hug, as the little infant, come forward to the Eucharist, where every day Jesus makes himself present again and again as our food. I don't think it was an accident that God arranged it, that Jesus would be born in Bethlehem, the city of David, the house of bread. Nor was it an accident that his first crib would be a feeding trough, that he might always be known as our food. Right? We have the food in the Word of God proclaimed. We have food in the Eucharistic self. And as we come forward, you can receive him into your hands. And better than giving him a hug, you can consume him and be filled with this one who is the light of the world.
Thank you for listening to Semper Gumby in Alaska. This is Father Thomas Weiss, a priest of the Diocese of Juneau. If you'd like to send me any feedback, you can reach me through my email at frthomasweiss@gmail.com. Again, that's frthomasweiss@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you, and if there's any way I can make these podcasts more helpful, please let me know. May God bless you, and have a great day.